Now, it's the first quarter of the year is down, and it's a good time to assess various industries. One of them is the motor industry, and fascinated with the recovery in the economy can be seen very vividly in the car market. And I'm joined by Michael Rochford from motorcheck.ie to go through some of the local and national data with regard to car sales. Very good morning to you, Michael.
Morning, Angus.
So, where to start? We have a quarter down, 3 months. Mm-hmm. How are we doing car sales wise for new cars for on the same time last year?
Yeah, new car sales are way up again on last year. It's about 28.5% up on last year in the first quarter. If you look back only 3 years, actually, 2013, there were only 74,000 cars sold in the entire year that year. So in the first quarter of this year, if you want to compare against 2013, we're actually 12% up on the entire year of 2013. So that gives you a flavour of just the year-on-year increases that there have been over the last 2 and 3 years. So it's great news for the motor industry. A lot of jobs back in the motor trade. I think 10,000 new jobs last year was the figure put on it by the SAMI. Obviously, huge tax take for the Exchequer as well with new car registrations in terms of VRT and VAT. So it's really good news for the economy in general.
And breaking down the data then that little bit further, the top manufacturers, Toyota, top of the pile.
Yeah, Toyota are always there or thereabouts, and they're, you know, a very good brand, obviously, and they're number one at the end of the first quarter, followed by Hyundai are the number two seller. They're the big story in the last couple of years in terms of brand building and new car sales.
They've shot right up. Where would they have been last year? Would they have been in the top 10? Or?
Yeah, I think they were there or thereabouts in the top 10 last year, but I think they were number four, number five, but previous to that, they would have been, you know, down, you know, in the low end of the top 10 or even outside the top 10. So really in the last 2 years, Hyundai have gone from strength to strength. And they're number two right now.
And they've the top selling model in the Hyundai Tucson, a new model this year.
And completely outstripping, you know, its nearest rival, the Volkswagen Golf, which is, you know, a very popular favorite, you know, nationwide. The Hyundai Tucson, it's one of these small SUV crossover vehicles. Really fabulous car, economical, good quality. And again, Hyundai have just done a fabulous job there. The Tucson, brand new out this year, and it's outstripping all its rivals. 4,000 registrations, 4,300 registrations versus VW Golf, which has 3,066. So it's amazing.
And when you say they've done a fabulous job, do you mean the build quality of the cars? Are they marketing them very well? How have they gotten to this place?
It's a combination of all of that. You know, if you drive a Hyundai now or sit into a Hyundai, you can feel that quality. You know, it's everything, you know, from the leather steering wheel down to the dials and the switches on the dash. Also, the performance of the vehicles are very good in terms of economy, reliability. They give a 5-year warranty with their cars as well. And just the range they have, they're good looking cars as well. And they've got a good range right from the Hyundai i10 right up to the Hyundai Santa Fe SUV. So they cover a very broad spectrum. So they've done a fabulous job.
And in the second half of last year, Michael, VW was hit by this emissions cheating scandal in the United States, which later emerged that cars across the entire world, including here in Ireland, were impacted by it. Initially didn't have a major impact on their sales figures, but we've had kind of the market has had time to adjust now, about 9 months or so. How are they faring at this stage?
Well, they're still, if you look at the nationwide stats, they're still in third place. So they're still one of the top brands in the country and still a big seller. The VW Golf is in second place. The one thing to highlight, I suppose, when you look at the top 10 brands in the country, from Toyota down to Audi is in number 10, every single one of them have growth of in excess of 20%. And many of them, you know, are in and over the 30, 40% range. Whereas Volkswagen in number 3 has only had growth of 9.8%. So approximately half the average growth of the other major brands in the top 10. So that's how they've been impacted. They're still there or thereabouts, but they possibly could have had much better growth without that scandal.
I'm just looking through the other top 10s then, and with regard to the mates, and Audi has slipped all the way back down to number 10. the old reliable German manufacturers, they would have traditionally been much higher in previous years, wouldn't they? Your Mercedes, your Audi, your VWs. Are we changing trends here in Ireland?
Yes and no. I suppose Audi, it's always a popular brand, and it's part of the VW Audi group, which also contains Skoda. You can see Skoda there is in number six. So if you look at the VW Audi group across the board, you know, they represent all levels from the premium level, which would be the Audi, down to, say, the Volkswagen mid-range, and then Skoda would be maybe priced a little bit keener. But all good quality brands. The thing about Audi serving the premium market, like the BMW and Mercedes that you mentioned, they still sell a lot of cars, but they wouldn't compete on the volume end of things, so they're probably in and around the lower end of the top 10 or just outside the top 10.
And Michael, then, looking at these figures on a micro level in breaking it down by the county, Wicklow car sales, up nearly 28% year on year. How are we faring with the rest of the country then here?
Yeah, so Wicklow is just on 28% year on year, which is almost identical. It's 28.4%, I think, nationwide, and Wicklow being 27.94%. So it's keeping pace with the rest of the country. In terms of unit sales, that 1,496 vehicles sold last year versus 1,914. That puts Wicklow in 14th place out of the 26 countries. It's in and around where they placed last year. And it's reflective of population stats as well, if you compare that to the population stats of the 26 counties. If you look at the top sellers as well, the Hyundai Tucson again is number one in Wicklow, which reflects the position nationwide as well. The Golf, the Toyota Yaris, and the Nissan Qashqai are in second, third, and fourth place, which is similar also to the nationwide stats. So Wicklow is very much keeping pace with the rest of the country as well.
Good to hear indeed. And so over the last couple of years, we've definitely had a very obvious recovery in the new car market, sales going up exponentially. But you're looking ahead a little bit, and the way the market is formed, do you think we may potentially be heading towards a type of car finance bubble?
Yeah, that's something that we're looking at and we're very interested in. It all revolves around the used car market and residual values of used cars. It's nothing to get massively worried about in terms of a car finance bubble, but it's something just to be mindful about and to be watchful of in the market. And something that the UK has experienced in the past as well. So we're looking across the water. And the product PCP has been around, the car finance product PCP has been around for a long time in the UK, whereas it's only become really popular in Ireland in the last 3-4 years.
And do we have a good idea of what PCP car finance is here in Ireland?
Well, I'm not sure if the consumer maybe has as much knowledge about what PCP actually is as they do, say, in the UK. And just to explain, I suppose, what PCP is, there's four components in PCP. There's the capital value of the car. That's what it costs to buy. And then you have to put a deposit down on the car, first of all. So you're taking a certain amount of that out. And that's usually financed by your trade-in, if you own a car to trade-in, or just your savings. So you put a minimum deposit down of typically maybe 10, up to a minimum of 10% of the value of the car. So if the value of the car is 20K, you might be putting down 2K deposit. Then you've got the residual value, and that's the future value of the car. And you often hear about guaranteed minimum future value. That's the thing that the manufacturer underwrites and says, in 3 years' time, with maybe 60,000 miles on the clock, you're going to do 20,000 miles per year. We value this car at 10,000 euros. So that comes off then the capital cost of the car. So maybe you've put down, you know, a deposit. Manufacturer says, we'll underwrite the residual value of the car at 10,000. Now what's left is the bit in the middle. So you've taken the deposit off, you've taken the residual value off. What's left in the middle is the depreciation. And that's what you're financing over the 3 years. And that's what makes the monthly payment really low and affordable, because you're only financing that depreciation bit. When you get to the end, then you've got the option to buy out that guaranteed minimum future value. You can then keep it and refinance it with a bank loan, buy it out with your savings. You can drive it back into your dealership and get a trade-in. Now, it's important to understand that you don't own the car. The manufacturer, the dealer owns the car. So when you're trading it in, you're only trading it in against any positive equity that might be in the car. So anything over and above the guaranteed minimum future value that the manufacturer has underwritten.
And presumably the manufacturers have done their sums, so there's not going to be a whole lot of, unlikely to be a whole lot of overspill there.
Yeah, and that's the tightrope that the manufacturer walks. They've got to underwrite and they've got to put their, the money where their mouth is and say, this car is going to be worth 10,000 in 3 years' time or whatever the residual value is. So it's a little bit of a guessing game, but it's also something that can be measured, and you kind of look at past history, the performance of cars in the past, and measure the market in the past and predict what's going to happen in the future.
And the net effect of all of this then is, Michael, the manufacturer obviously wants to keep people coming into new cars regularly, get used to buying or purchasing new cars every few years because they benefit more from that. But then also the used car market is going to be flooded.
Yeah, well, that's the potential. So if you look at what's happened in the last 3 years, going back to, as I said, 2013, when we had 74,000 units sold, then we've had, in the last 2 years, we've had 30% growth year on year in the past 2 years. And now we're in a situation where we've had 82,000 cars registered, more than the entire 2013 in the first quarter. So we're looking at potentially 140, 150,000 cars registered this year. At least one third of those cars are on car finance, and at least 70 to 80% of those are on this new PCP product. And what's driving that? Number one, the economy. You know, we're back to sort of an economic growth and boom situation. So there's a lot more disposable income in the economy. Number two is the finance is available and it's being marketed heavily and manufacturers and dealers are pushing it a lot. But number three, also, what makes PCP affordable is the residual value of that car. And manufacturers are bullish about residual value right now because over the last 5 years, the used car market has hardened a lot because in previous years, new car sales have fallen off a cliff. So there's been stock shortages in the used car market. So those used car prices are high right now. But when, you know, say 40,000 cars on finance come back on the market in 3 years' time, it mightn't be 40,000 in total, but Irish market's a small market. That's a lot of used cars coming back onto the market. And that could have an effect of dropping the residual value below that equity position.
And Michael, that's then when companies such as yourself, MotorCheck.ie, come into play very much when people are looking at buying used cars. If there's less of a margin to be made, corners will be cut, and issues around, I don't know, performance or what's under the bonnet and reliability and history, they become very important. So explain to us what MotorCheck does in this regard to help.
Yeah, MotorCheck, I suppose, is a very valuable service. When you're buying a used car, you've got to know the history of that car. You've got to be certain of it when you're putting your hard-earned cash out to buy something that's got to do you for the next 3 or 4 years. You want to know its history. You want to know that the mileage is as it states on the odometer. It hasn't been clocked. You want to know that it hasn't been written off. Crucially, you want to know that the bank doesn't own it and it's under finance with the bank, that the person who's selling it to you has the right to sell it to you or has cleared the finance. So there are three of the main things that it will tell you. Also, we have things like the road tax history and the NCT history, the fuel emissions and so on. So that's the type of thing a MotorCheck report will tell you. And it serves really as a guide to when you're buying a car. It triggers off a lot of questions that you should be asking the seller.
Perfect stuff. So there you go. We'll have to leave it there. Michael Rochford from MotorCheck.ie, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning and bringing us through all these stats. And I'm sure we'll have you back in the next quarter to see if your predictions are coming to fruition.
Thanks very much, Angus.
Wicklow.